and we love you.
On this vote, the yeas are 68 and the nays are 31. The nomination of Sonia Sotomayor of New York to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed.
Sotomayor, of course, becomes official. You just heard there that was Al Franken, the freshman senator, doing the honors. The vote fell between the last two votes for the last two Supremes, if you're keeping track. The justices that were nominated by former President George W. Bush, Chief Justice John Roberts, got 78 votes in his confirmation, while Sam Alito had 58 votes. Sotomayor will be sworn in on Saturday at the U.S. Supreme Court. President Obama praised the vote, saying he's gratified by the confirmation. If you look at the way the vote or the court leans, there shouldn't be too much of a change because Justice Souter was very liberal, let's face it. The one thing I would be concerned about as somebody who supports the Second Amendment would be her position on the Second Amendment. Of course, the right to keep and bear arms. She was actually part of a panel, I think I've talked about this on America Tonight before, that ruled this year that the amendment doesn't limit state actions, only federal ones. That pretty much keeps up with the previous Supreme Court precedent, right? So if you are somebody who supports the whole gun thing, you would say that her court really shouldn't have called the issue settled law. And a lot of us have been critical of her for refusing during the confirmation hearings to go beyond what the high court said and declare that the Second Amendment applies to the states, which is very vital right now because we're seeing it's coming up with this concealed weapon stuff. And there was a reversal, of course, legislatively. So that affects anybody who believes in the right to bear arms. Also coming up on the show, we're going to go beyond, obviously, Sotomayor. We're going to talk about health care reform. The Democrats insisting that what's happening is the people who are showing up and disrupting the meetings are plants. They're calling them AstroTurf, and they're going to battle back to try to push all this health care reform through over the next 3 or 4 weeks until Congress resumes again, and I'm sure that battle will brew on Capitol Hill like it was. But I think you're going to have some ugly things happen across the United States at some of these forums, because you're going to have both sides really screaming at each other, no doubt about that. In the meantime, John Hughes, director, writer, I think just a brilliant man. He wrote a couple of great movies in the 80s and the 90s, including Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Again, just 59, John Hughes, taking a walk, taking a stroll, happened to any of us in Manhattan, and he has a heart attack, and much to the surprise, of course, of his family, that's who he was visiting. Jana is listening to us in Iowa. Jana, you have the leadoff honors on ATN. Hello.
Hello, Kate. I want to start in on this health care episode. As a Democrat who did not vote for Obama, as you know, I've said that before, I would like to urge all Democrats who are not happy with what he's doing with this health care to definitely contact their congressman from tonight on forward and inform them that, hey, I am a Democrat. Hey, I am not a plant. Hey, I am not for this, and I want to see some changes. And if there are Republicans that are being a plant or groups, fringe groups that have been told to go to these meetings and do this, that is one thing, but that's still their right to go and do that. And I am just so incensed at what Congress is trying to pass through and what Obama is trying to pass through that I just encourage anyone that is against it to contact your congressman, tell them you're doing it on your own, you're not a plant for anybody, and see if we can't rock this vote, you know?
Oh, I so agree with you. Right on what you just said. And it doesn't matter. It's anyone's right to go to the meetings, so you, bravo, you have a point there. But I think it's regular folk for the most part anyway. You can tell if you watch and if you've looked at the crowds. And I think it's crazy how they're trying to ram it past us, too, Jen. I don't understand. There's an agenda here, but it's not one that the people obviously are embracing, and our government is about the people, we the people. So let the people be involved in the process, then. That's what has to happen. So there is more of a mutual satisfaction. If it's going to change our way of life, we want to know. That's fine. If it's something that we can embrace, then show us why we should embrace it and let everybody get a chance at talking and flushing it out instead of ramming the single-payer thing down our throat. Yeah. Jana, as always, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, listening to us in Texas, Dana is listening to us. Hey, Dana, how are you?
I'm okay, Kate. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, I wanted to just comment on a couple of things, if I could. The first one, I wanted to put in my 2 cents of which movies I liked best that movie writer that passed away suddenly.
Yeah, John Hughes.
Don Hughes. I'm sorry, I forgot his name. I have to go down as Ferris Bueller. I watched that with my kids as they were growing up in the 80s, and I have a DVD of it, and sometimes I need a Ferris Bueller fix. You know, it's such an enlightening show, especially the scene downtown in the parade, and I just really like it. And I'm an old lady, and I love that show.
A lot of people like it because that was the whole thing about escaping, taking the day off, forget it, just
exactly.
Fantasy takes over. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to comment is on this swine flu H1N1.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book that I would like to give the listeners the title to and the author that they really need to probably read, because it enlightens you as to what 1918 was all about and the first go-around with this flu during World War One, and it has been projected to have killed 60 to 100 million people in the world.
That's right, right.
And the name of the book is The Great Influenza, mm-hmm. The Epic Story of the Deadliest Plague in History, and the author is a John M. as Mary Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. It's a very interesting book. It gives you lots of information to compare to today because it behaved exactly like this one is. It came out in April. It didn't do a whole lot, but when the flu season came back in August, September, it went, just deadly. It was horrible. And they even had small patches show up as late as 1922. It wasn't a world renowned, so they had like 3 waves of it.
Right.
And then there is a magazine that I have, 1997, The New Yorker, and I'm trying to see the month on it, and it goes into September 29th, 1997, and it has an article that talks about how some Canadian scientists went to Norway to the ice cap and dug up some deceased bodies from 1918 that died from the swine flu. It's not the flu that kills everybody. It's the pneumonia.
Right.
Because it makes your lungs susceptible to pneumococcus strepsis, which is a bacteria, and it fills up the aerials just so quickly that you, like, drowned in your own body fluid in your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
People would go to bed. They would think they were getting over the flu. They were feeling better, and they'd get up, and that's when the second part of it would hit you, which would be the pneumonia. But these scientists went to Norway and brought their evidence back from body DNA information. Are you still there?
I'm listening. Go ahead. Quickly wrap it up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And they took it to Fort Detrick. So they've been working on this since 1997. So how have they mutated it? That's an interesting point.
Yeah, you know what? It is interesting, and of course, it's about the safety, and there should be concerns there, and you should be concerned as to what the testing and experimenting is all about. Stay with us here on ATN.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 6, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $969.10. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $996.64, $498.32 for a half ounce, or $249.16 for the quarter ounce. That's $996.64, $498.32, and $249.16.
Bailout equals market distortions, increased money supply while productivity is going down. Wall Street is receiving injections of liquidity while smaller companies are forced to concede. Companies too big to fail are now using the tax dollars to increase market share, paying fat dividends. Are you wondering why supplies of gold and silver coins are decreasing rapidly, leaving the public scrambling to accumulate what's left? Fiat currency's value is based on trust, fiscal responsibility. Is Congress and the White House acting responsibly, earning your trust, or is it time to insure your hard-earned wealth? Midas Resources offers economic insurance, gold and silver coins, 800-686-2237. Do you believe that more bailout will solve our economic problems? Or would you like to call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237? That's Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237.
As you already know, drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. That's 269-216-9767 today.
That happened this week is the story about this George Sedini, 48 years old, was a loner guy, and went into a gym in Pittsburgh, and we know the result. He killed a bunch of women, injured others, and they were shocked. He walked to the back of the room, flipped off the lights, and pulled out some guns and started firing. So, of course, he killed himself as well. The question becomes, how does this happen? What makes this person tick? How do they get to this point? How do you identify these kinds of people? Is there that many people that are that isolated that go in this direction? How can you find them? Obviously, he couldn't connect with women and had a problem with women. And we're seeing an increase of these rage-driven mass murders. What is the deal? So this George Sedini, of course, left a glimpse into his life. He had a couple of YouTube postings and some notes and some things he wrote. And it was clear that he was lonely. It was clear that he was searching for somebody or something. It doesn't excuse his irrational, erratic, pathetic behavior that has now left people without loved ones, people who had nothing to do with him. There was no connection other than they happened to be female. And that's outrageous, but there is nothing that can be done. He can't be tried and fried because he shot himself and left behind his 10 minutes, 15 minutes of fame. But can something be learned from this kind of a thing? Are there more people that are ticking time bombs that you could reach out to? And I don't know how you could do that. I don't know how you could identify those people, because people would say, even in his case, well, he's a loner guy. Well, what does that mean? So what? Lots of people are quiet and they are fine and they're not crazy and they're not going to do something like this. They just like to be by themselves and aren't super, super social. So maybe there's something in you just have to be, if someone's just antisocial, there might be a problem. Here's one of the postings on YouTube where he's rambling about these young women and things he has to do to keep up with women. Check this out.
It is easy for me to hide from my emotions for one more day. Take a long drive in the car, listen to some music, daydream, or just do some mundane task around the house that really doesn't need to be done, that's not too important. And there you go, one more day. And one more day turns into one more year. Now, RDS says that I have approximately maybe 15 more years to be successful at this. And when I heard that, I wanted to continue immediately to start moving on this. I didn't realize I had that much time. So what my objective is to be real and to learn to be emotional and to, you know, to be able to emotionally connect with people. Because when I'm 10 to 20 years older than she is, you know, she has to feel good about this thing. And the only way to around that, you know, is to work on this and perhaps STEM exercises or forgiveness exercises as per Hay or whatever else. I'm going to post this and see what comes back.
And, of course, what happened was the guy would post these things and he would blog and he got no comments. But what young girl is going to make comments about that where he's saying, you know, I'm going to be 20 years older than her and assuming that he's having a relationship with somebody. So he was inside his head is what I think. And how you prevent that, we'll talk to the ATN head shrinker, Judith Barr, but I don't see how you can prevent that other than reaching out to people who might seem isolated to you. But how do you do that? And how do you determine when somebody just needs a little hello, how are you, invitations to neighborhood things, or when someone's just completely ready to pop? And I can't imagine the shock of the people at that moment then when that was happening or the phone calls that had to be made. But I sure hope that we don't see more of this bubble up because it seems like we are seeing a lot of it. And is it that this has always existed, but now we have so many forms of media with the internet, especially, and all the reporting that goes on, we find things out immediately and these stories bubble up? Is it that there were those things that happened before, but we just didn't know about them as much? Or is it technology? Because you have people that are on the computers constantly, you have people working from home. You don't have, in some cases, you don't have a lot of social interaction. If they're not involved with a group or other people or have moved around a lot or whatever. But I'm not giving him any excuses because, again, I think it's a cowardly thing that he did. I think it's outrageous. You know, there's people that have horrible situations that they deal with day in and day out. And you could tell by his video and everything else, at least physically, he was fine. And he lived a middle-class lifestyle, so he wasn't living in a box under a bridge somewhere. And I hate to give anybody an excuse, so I won't do that except for to say that it was cowardly what he did. And it's a shame that he didn't survive so that justice could have been served in this case. And I also hope, because he had guns, that we don't see this being used as a reason to take guns away, because ultimately that's what it turns into. We can give you examples of people who have had guns, who are responsible people, who know how to use them, and who have saved lives in strange situations where somebody did come in and open fire. It's like the off-duty police officers who were there, the one who was there in Salt Lake City when that happened in the mall and the guy went nuts and went into the mall and started shooting people, and he was there, so ultimately he was able to maybe save some lives, and it just happened to be that he was there and he had a weapon. Sad, sad, sad stuff. 800-259-5791 if you want to weigh on the healthcare thing. Is it a plant or plants, if you will, that are showing up to heckle and to disrupt the meetings? And I say that, no, it's not true. And I think it's good that people are out there regardless and that are passionate, they have an opinion, and they care, frankly, about what's going to change or not going to change with health care, right? And we've seen this happen all over the place. And here's what's happened. They have these town meetings, these town hall meetings. I've told you several times now about, or we've talked about on the show, about Senator Arlen Specter and some of the others who have been out and been speaking and what's happened. And they're saying that the people that are showing up at the meetings are right-leaning groups, conservatives for patients' rights, Americans for Prosperity, and a lot of them are comparing this to the Tea Party thing and saying that they stay in touch over email and Facebook and they're going out to the meetings. And I guess, you know, even if I look at that, and I know that a lot of the people aren't any of these people, I think Jana made a good point. Even if they are, who cares? If they belong to that organization and that's how they feel and that's what they want to happen and they don't want this health care reform, then I don't care if they're organized or not and they go to the meeting. It's certainly their right to go to the meeting, right? I mean, it's real frustration regardless, real frustration with government spending, right, and growth. And Nancy Pelosi was at an event in Denver, and there's about 200 demonstrators there, half supporting the Democrats, I guess, and half opposed. That was kind of one of those, you know, half and half, obviously, in the middle somewhere. In Sarasota Springs, a Democratic Congressman, Scott Murphy, had about 20 protesters that showed up in New York, and they were carrying signs that said Obamacare, seniors beware, rationing is here, if socialized medicine is best. And I said this before earlier, I did actually like this line, socialized medicine is best, why didn't Ted Kennedy go to Canada? And people were driving by and honking and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So here's the deal. So you know where we are on health care. You've got three House committees that approved health care legislation, and then there's this measure that's expected on the floor this fall. One committee's acted. A bipartisan group of senators on the Finance Committee has been at work for weeks trying to draft some kind of a compromise. That's why they're saying, oh, we don't even care about bipartisan support anymore. Chairman Max Baucus from Montana, he's saying that his group will keep working over the August break, and they're making progress. And Senator Kent Conrad, who's also a member of a group, said they're discussing exempting insurance policies sold to teachers and first responders like police and firefighters from a proposed tax on high-cost insurance. And see, this is the deal. If it passes, you would have to get insurance, either through the employer or on your own or through a government program. You'd have no choice. You would be fined. Everybody has to have insurance if this happens. Medicaid would be expanded. It would cover more people close to the poverty line. And I guess nearly everybody would be covered. I'm not buying what they're selling. I think it's bogus. 800-259-5791.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. The 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the e-book. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. hereswhatyoudo.net. And start changing your life today.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreenClean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreenClean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreenClean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreenClean. It cleans anything.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you.
Coming up, we have the dungeon. Boy, we haven't used the dungeon in a while. In the meantime, I mentioned this before, but it is definitely official. Congress okayed the $2 billion for cash for clunkers. And, they sent it to Obama on Thursday night with an additional $2 billion, again, as I said, for the program. So bottom line is there's going to be some work for the repo man. Could be. I think it's kind of gimmicky. It works if somebody ultimately has the money to pay for whatever the new car is. But how many people out there can pay for the new car? That's the question to ask yourself, right? Speaking of asking questions, I guess they didn't ask the right questions here. This is a crazy, crazy story. A 13-year-old girl was arrested for shoplifting, okay? And she was in the Dallas County Jail for about 2 weeks. Then they found out, that's when they figured out that she was underage. She was 13 because she never would have been there. She ran away from home. She was at Target. And she shoplifted and they busted her. She had no identification. She gave a false name and age. So the arresting officer tried to contact the youth division to confirm the information, but had no record, right? So the officer assumed she was 17, took her to jail. But there's still no word on how he made that assumption. She must have looked older, that's for sure, right? So she gets released July 23rd, a couple of weeks later, and after appearing before a judge, and is again listed as a runaway. So an inmate who was an acquaintance of the girl's family recognized her, phoned the father, who came to the cops with a birth certificate and other records to verify her real identity and age. So they're investigating how this snafu happened. And the officer who's in the middle of this, who made the arrest, said that the girl provided him, if she had provided the information, and it there was something false that she had, it wouldn't have gotten that far. And he said it's frustrating that this is what we have to do on our jobs, that we have an incredible time when they don't tell you who they are and they have no ID. So, here's the thing. The girl initially identified herself as being 14. I would think there would be some kind of a concern if she said she was 14. They need to have a better way to check before they throw people into these jails. Imagine 13. I'm thinking of myself at 13 and what I was doing. And I wasn't sitting in a jail for 2 weeks. But, hey, she was playing tricks and up her sleeve with these cops as well. But I have a feeling somebody's going to be disciplined for that. Speaking of being disciplined, here is our dungeon moment. I don't know if you saw this or not, but information just came out about drunk driving, about DUIs. And sadly, DUIs are up. And people, and I don't know why this is, but a lot of people just assume that it's men, but there are women that are getting nailed for DUIs. Absolutely. And remember, we just had the story of the mother who had the wrong way crash while she was drunk and she was high. And that was certainly sad. Her husband is coming out and saying that she was not a drinker and trying to say that he doesn't know what happened, but this was not her MO. She did not have a problem with alcohol. Apparently that day she did, though. Because they did the toxicology thing and they clearly had it. They clearly registered it. So here's the deal. This case is getting attention, and it's good it's getting attention because men still drink more than women and are definitely responsible for more drunk driving cases. But that gap is actually narrowing. And some of the reasons that they're citing with this new study is because women are feeling pressured at work and at home. So they're driving more and they're more reckless now, especially younger women feeling more empowered, equal to men, exhibiting some of those same behaviors. That's what they're saying in California at the Office of Traffic Study. By the way, this is where the study came out. And especially nationwide, the number of women arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs, 28.8% higher in 2007 than it was in 98. Of course, you could say, well, population numbers, all that sort of stuff. The number of men arrested was 7.5% lower, according to even FBI figures. So we get all these numbers, that comes to about 56% of the country, right? So women are picking up some awful habits. I just don't get the drunk driving thing. And the reason I don't get it is because you can get a taxi, you can take the train, you get someone to pick you up, you can have a designated driver. That's it, right? It's like this woman with the drunk driving. How are you doing this with kids in the car? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it just makes no sense to me. And there are all kinds of cases bubbling up. So women, get it together. If your friends are having a martini party, then someone else has to come and get you. If you've got kids and you're picking them up, and you're at the social hour at the country club or whatever, I mean, come on now. Be sensible. How people are doing this. You have to now deal with texting and everything else. It's like a war. It's like we have to have a tank around us when we're driving anymore. No joke. And so then throw this into the mix, and the irresponsibility factor just ratchets up. So for people who are driving drunk, shame on you. You are anonymous on this show, so I can't mail anyone a key. But we are going to put you all in the dungeon.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. What does being drunk mean? How many drinks is it? It depends, of course, it depends on your body and it depends on the amount of time, the window that we're talking about. But what we're talking about as far as abusing alcohol, usually what they mean in the federal study that they did is having at least 4 drinks a day. That would put you in that category of very, very dangerous, right? So, I don't know. Do you think, Matt, I'm going to ask you this, because you're in your 20s. Do you think that young women, because this is what the study pointed out in a bunch of different areas, Are you seeing more drunk young women when you go out?
That's a definite yes.
Oh.
More so than ever. And now that I'm, you know, approaching that big 3-0 mark, it's these younger girls who are just turning 21 and everything that they are just out of control. I can't believe it. Like, I know when I was that age, there were girls around me who had drank, but they were usually just kind of hanging out with us, and it wasn't, like, I didn't notice them being just ridiculously drunk or anything. And now I go out, and it's these younger girls that I just don't know what they're doing because they just get sloshed and can barely stand. They're the ones who are always getting carried out of bars, who are getting, like, carried by their boyfriends or something down the street. And of all the people I know that have gotten a DUI, and this isn't, like, great friends of mine, but just acquaintances and people I know of, I'd say 3/4 of them are females.
Wow. So you're proving out the statistic. So that's high. That's a high number.
Yeah.
And when they get busted for this, what's happening? Are they getting their licenses suspended? Is it what's happened?
Definitely getting the license suspended, and they have to go, like, I think you got to go to a MAD class, and I don't know what else you have to do. I'm not too familiar with it, thank God, but
right.
I have no idea. I know you got to do, you know, you got to go like a couple of AA meetings. You got to do a Mothers Against Drunk Driving class. You got to do a couple other things. And I think there's maybe some community service involved too. I have no idea, but you got to learn your lesson and, you know, hopefully you either get caught by the cops before something terrible happens or you just stop altogether.
Yeah, I think it's one way or the other. I have, among the people I know, it's split, men and women, but there are women. And I know, I have so many guy friends, and they're just at the golf course. They're hanging out with a bunch of guys, watching sports, and they're just not realizing how much they're drinking. And I have one friend who's lucky he went through a guardrail in Philadelphia, and he could have killed a bunch of people. Luckily, he didn't. However, they nailed him. And he had to go through some of those things that Matt just said. And he is cold turkey, even if people try to give him a bunch of guff about it. Because that's what happens, the peer pressure. Like, oh, come on, dude, you're not an alcoholic, whatever. No, he won't have any of it. He goes to the Eagle games or hangs out. And if somebody starts to rough him up verbally, like, why, you know, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you drinking? That was a long time ago. He won't do it. Well, good for him. And I had a friend, same thing. She didn't actually have that many drinks, but apparently she was really thin, little, and for her weight and size, she, you know, blew and did the breathalyzer thing and had to spend the night in jail. And this is like somebody who lived this pristine life, didn't have these blotches anywhere. That was her big blotch, and she doesn't drink either. Hey, here's a big story that I mentioned, and I didn't give you any of the details of it. I'm sure he's had many drinks in his time, but he probably slips right into a limousine, but rock legend Steven Tyler of Aerosmith had head, neck, and shoulder injuries. He tumbled off the stage. It was an outdoor concert in Rapid City, South Dakota, and he was loaded into a helicopter and taken to the hospital. He's 61 years old. So, and it's still, even now in his concerts, he sways and he grinds on the microphone stand, and he does whatever he normally did before. I mean, this time he fell, and what happened was he was dancing around after the sound system failed during the song Love in an Elevator, and that's when he slipped. They said he was joking with the doctors and everything. Don't know how serious the injuries are, but that he obviously couldn't go on, and so that was the end of the concert there. And he has to remember he's 61, tumbling into the fans in the crowd of thousands. The security was there, and Joe Perry, the guitarist, came out to tell the audience that he was being taken to the hospital and the show wouldn't go on. So what an unfortunate end to that evening for the people that were there. My, oh, my. Stay with us. Stretch Drive time.
Heart. Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. PepperSpray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to PepperSpray.com. That's PepperSpray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Speaking of Angry Johnny, the DNC is calling, and their new ad is calling the healthcare protesters an angry mob, and I definitely disagree. I think that that's just rhetoric on a part of a group that's furious that they couldn't shove this down America's throat. And bravo to anybody who wants to protest and they're confused by what they're hearing. Good for you. That means that you've turned off American Idol or whatever nonsense reality show is on, and you've gone out, traipsed out, and gone to one of these forums. And I applaud anyone who's done that. I don't care if you're an independent Democrat or Republican. I think that these meetings are going to really start to get nasty, though, in the next couple of weeks, because you've got the unions pushing, saying, sending out notices and telling their people to go. You have Democrats pushing people to go to the meetings as well. So if the Democrats are enlisting people, plants, if you will, to go, isn't that the same thing that they're accusing people of that are showing up that happen to be conservatives who live in the area? So give me a break with all that nonsense. Stu is listening to us in Kentucky. Hi, Stu.
Hey, Kate. I don't want to hear about DNC. Those guys drive me nuts. Anyways, first of all, I don't know where Minnesota Matt got that music from, but I thought he was a lot cooler than that, man. That was some weird music he just put on before you came on.
You just nailed him.
I'm telling you something. Oh, man. I know why he stays up there now. Them corn-fed women like that music.
That's right, Minneapolis women.
Yeah, I know. That's where the doors are actually 5 foot wide. But anyways, I heard you guys talk about the drunk chicks or something just a minute ago.
Yeah.
And I got something. I dated one of them a while back before I got married. And that is the, and she was like 27 or 26, 25 at the time. That is the most embarrassing thing in the world. To go into a bar, to have a few drinks, your girlfriend get plump stupid and drunk, falling over drunk, and have to, like, match and carry him out of the car. That is humiliating, and I've had to do that. And it is just horrible. Or go in the bathroom, puke, get so drunk, puke, come back out, drink more, and you're like, where are you putting this crap at? It's humiliating. I mean, you know, you're like, oh, my. And there's a country song out, something about, I don't like chicks that get drunker than me or something like that.
Right.
And, man, that's the truth. That's embarrassing. I mean, you feel like, God, people are like, oh, my God, look at that slut.
And they
and you
do.
You know that's
they,
what
they
they're
look.
Thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shh. I guess that's why I fell in love with her. She was drunk and easy at the bar, I guess. That's all I can think of. I'm glad
don't
I got rid of her, man. Yeah, I don't tell my wife. Yeah, my wife knows. She always says, oh, yeah, that was the skanky one, right? Skankerella? Yeah, honey, that was Skankerella.
I love but it.
That was what, oh, yeah, and as far as Democrats, I don't know why. Those guys, man, they wore out this angry mob stuff. And,
I know.
You know what, let me ask you this. What was the lady's name? Her son got killed in Iraq, and she protested outside of Crawfordsville, Texas.
Cindy Sheehan.
Was she an angry mob and those people out there with her?
No, because
was
a Democrat.
Well, was Acorn an angry mob?
I agree. Was right there on the same page with you. Absolutely.
Are the Democrats too poor that they can't, or they, is Barbara Boxer saying Democrats are a bunch of dirty people because they, the people at these rallies dress too nice, so it must be manufactured, and they're dressed too nice to be Democrats? Isn't that what she said?
Yeah.
Man, I think if I was a Democrat, I'd really be looking at these people and saying, you know, is this really what I want representing me? To me, it sounds like Barbara Boxer is saying her Democrats are too poor. They didn't have a choice but to vote for her and have big government.
That's right.
I'm not a brilliant guy, but I believe that's what she was getting at, you know? It might just be me. I don't know. And just so Barbara Boxer knows, I'm a Republican. I wear blue jeans. I'm a Levi man in a pair of boots and a T-shirt. So, you know, that's, you know, whatever. And a ball cap.
And I think that's what the people were dressed like. They were dressed just like anybody else would be in America. And they did not seem like polished up prepsters to me.
It's just, you know, it's I was listening to a talk show host earlier today, and he said, you know, he said, they're complaining and they're saying they're getting in people's face. They're rude. This is not what Americans are about. But yet he played a clip of Barack Obama saying, and I can remember when he said, call your constituents, call your friends, call your family. Republicans, independents, who it is, get in their face. Tell them we need to go Democrat. We need to get a Democratic president. We need Obama. Get in their face. Now, you know, it was okay for Democrats getting independent Republicans' face, but, man, when they're getting back in theirs, they don't like it.
Well, see, that's what the problem is. The problem is stop calling the kettle black when you're doing the very same thing. And now they're doing that, Stu. They're saying we have to organize. They met with Obama. We have to have protests of our own, so we have to have people that are amped up and go to the meeting. So they're doing the very same thing that they're accusing the Republicans of doing.
Well, I know some people who went to tea parties, you know, and they try to say the same thing about the tea parties. It's not grassroots. It's
right. It's
AstroTurf. And that wasn't true at all. Some of these people are just really good, hardworking, down-home people who are trying to earn a dollar and want the government to stay out of their pockets all the way around. And you know what? We all pay our taxes, but I don't know if you want to, but I don't want to pay any more than I'm already paying. And if he calls that being kind and being, what did he call it? Being a patriotic. I think he needs to go smoke him some more crack or something because there ain't nothing patriotic about it. I don't want to pay more taxes. I mean, I take care of my family. I don't ask government to help me with my family. I pay for my family. I take care of my family. I buy my toys. Government don't buy my toys. And that's the way I like to leave it. And the sad part is that gentleman that called in Illinois last night, he hit the nail on the head. And as I said a couple weeks ago, I've experienced it already. When you make a statement and you push back, everybody wants to throw the race card in. And that's something that we should not have in 2009 in America when we put the black man president.
I agree. And it's just an excuse. And it's and you know what? It has started to happen. And I hope it doesn't continue to go down that path, because you're right. 2009, we should not be in that position, Stu. Hey, Stu, did you know that John Hughes died? We were talking about you brought it up the other day, those 80s films that you were watching with your kids.
No way. Did he really?
He died today. He had a heart attack at 59. He was walking down the street in Manhattan. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles,
yeah, he did all
Breakfast
the,
Club.
All of them based out of Illinois. Now, if you remember, they all had Illinois plates. They all have. I can't believe it, man. He did some great movies.
He
man.
Did. Planes,
I'm
Trains, and Automobiles, Uncle Buck.
Oh, my God. Man, those are some. Now you're going to make me picture of the DVDs and pop in some of these old movies again. Oh, yeah, I got my son watching them, man. He was giggling. They were laughing. They had a lot of fun. They loved The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, dig out those DVDs.
Awesome. Oh,
yeah. DVDs.
Wally World's got them $5 a piece. You can go down to your Wally World and pick them up. And they are so much fun to watch. And my daughter, my son loves Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And my wife, she's a little bit younger.
Worse.
Like, that
how
movie is so lame.
Yeah, I'm exactly.
Like, it is awesome. How can you say Ferris Bueller's Day Off is lame? It was every kid in the late 80s or even early mid 80s, late 80s, and early 90s skipping school. That was what that was it.
That's what we wanted to do, skip school, anything to get out of school, go to the beach, go wherever, just get away.
Exactly.
I agree. Ferris Bueller's Day was great, and it was a game changer.
And Weird Science with Kelly LeBrock. What normal teenage kid did not drop his jaw over Kelly LeBrock? I mean, those are the best. I can't believe he died, but I'm going to have to go home and watch Weird Science now and Ferris Bueller's Day Off before I go to bed.
Exactly. In memory of John Hughes. You have a safe drive. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kate. See you.
All right, and we're going to end on this note. This did not happen in the United States, but as a stupid way to punish a kid. So you find a kid.
Our holidays are always such a mess.
Oh, yeah.
How did you get through it?
I had a lot of help from Jack Daniels.
Vintage John Hughes. forget about it. We're going to save it for another day. We have a crazy story out of Malaysia about a teacher forcing a student, in honor of Ferris Bueller, to smoke 42 cigarettes in 2 hours as punishment. Why? Because she found the boy had a cigarette and a lighter. Please. Thank goodness this stupid thing didn't happen in the United States. For once, it wasn't an American teacher that we could blame or pin it on. Nope, it was somebody in Malaysia. Flip me an email, day or night, americatonight.net.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
Worse? How can they get any worse? Take a look around you, Ellen.